Is your bank at home in three markets or 53? With on-the-ground specialists in over 50 markets, HSBC UK has been voted the leading bank for trade for the last 7 years. So let us help you navigate international business like a local. Search HSBC International Bank to find out more. HSBC UK, opening up a world of opportunity. Voted the UK's best trade finance bank for 7 consecutive years by Euromoney UK Trade Finance Survey 2023.
Welcome to Tech News Briefing. It's Wednesday, January 17th. I'm Alex Osola for The Wall Street Journal. Coming up on today's show, solar technology has taken some big steps forward. But does this mean you'll never need batteries again? We'll hear about solar charging for personal devices from WSJ technology columnist Christopher Mims. And then, crypto exchange Coinbase is one of the last big digital asset companies standing after a string of high-profile collapses. CEO Brian Armstrong has kept a low profile, but now he's stepping into the spotlight as the company faces a legal test. What does this mean for Coinbase and for crypto? WSJ Markets reporter Vicky Ge Huang joins us to discuss. But first, over the past few years, solar power has been making the biggest waves at large scales, with huge panels positioned in fields or on rooftops to feed power to the grid. Now, though, new technology is shrinking it down to power some of the handheld gadgets we use every day. WSJ technology columnist Christopher Mims joins us now with more. Christopher, tell me a bit about solar charging for gadgets. How exactly does it work?
So those little solar-powered calculators we remember from the 80s and the 90s, the panel on that was capturing maybe 1 or 2 or 3% of the energy that fell on that panel from indoor light, which is not that bright to begin with. So it was just a minuscule amount of power. And now we have these newer technologies that can capture 30, 35%, 40% of the light that's falling on them. And even though that's not as bright as sunlight, it turns out it's a lot of power relative to other forms of wireless power. And you can do a lot with it.
When you say it's solar charging a gadget, but it works indoors, do you mean it just works with like whatever light happens to be coming in through the windows? Does it work with artificial light from a light bulb?
I just mean visible light. It contains a lot of energy, it turns out. I talked to folks who were like, yeah, you can take the case of our earbuds and just park it under a lamp, and you may never charge those earbuds from the wall again.
Wow, okay. What kinds of gadgets are we talking about here?
It's a growing list. An obvious one has been over-the-ear headphones, because then you can put a solar cell right on top of your head so it's gathering energy while you're walking around outside or indoors. A lot of the applications are eventually going to be Internet of Things devices, which I know people's eyes glaze over when they hear that. But let me just give you one scenario. Let's say you want to put a new light switch on a wall. Well, in the old days, you got to cut a hole in the wall and run wires and everything else. In the days of smart lights, if your lights are already wirelessly communicating, you might just take a solar powered switch, stick it anywhere you want in your house, and now you can control the lights from there.
You mentioned that this technology has existed for a while. How common is it right now to be able to charge your devices with solar power?
If you buy a new Samsung smart TV, the entire back of the remote is a solar panel for harvesting indoor light. But that is the old style of solar panel. That's so-called crystalline silicon solar cell. It's the same type of solar cells that go in a solar farm you see by the side of the highway or on your rooftop or attached to a satellite in outer space. The breakthrough that has happened, which has showed up in gadgets starting only a year ago, really, is this totally different type of solar cell, which is actually biomimetic. It works in a way that's a lot like the way a leaf works, where there's a dye in it that absorbs the sunlight and turns that into electricity. And that's actually how plants do it, it turns out. And we've known about this technology for decades. People first discovered the effect in the 1960s. It's taken until now to really commercialize it.
Okay, so headphones, light switches, all this great stuff. How about my phone or my laptop?
This is where the limitations of this technology become apparent. You are absolutely not going to charge your phone with this or your laptop or your tablet. All of those types of devices use a surprisingly large amount of power, and there's just not enough energy in the light indoors to do that.
That was our tech columnist, Christopher Mims. Coming up, Coinbase is facing one of its first big legal tests. We'll find out what it means for the crypto industry after the break.
I'm Jimmy Vielkind from The Wall Street Journal. And even though the Republican presidential campaign's been going on for months, I've still got a lot of questions. Most of all, why does Trump have such an enduring appeal on the right?
President Trump has done a lot of good things, but he brings so much other baggage with him.
Introducing Chasing the Base, a new multi-part series from The Wall Street Journal. We'll be looking at voters who will pick the party's next presidential candidate. Look for Chasing the Base in The Wall Street Journal's What's News podcast.
Since it was founded in 2012, Coinbase has made money from investors and traders buying and selling cryptocurrencies on the platform. And even as competitors like FTX and Binance have faced legal and financial issues, Coinbase CEO Brian Armstrong has continued to expand the company, pushing into overseas markets and launching new products. Now, as Coinbase heads to court for its first big legal test, Brian Armstrong has become the new face of crypto. Here to tell us more is WSJ Markets reporter Vicky Ge Huang. Last week, the Securities and Exchange Commission approved Bitcoin ETFs for everyday investors. How does that affect Coinbase?
These spot Bitcoin ETFs, which are charging fees as low as zero for the first 6 months, and then 0.2% or 0.3% for the long term, that's a lot cheaper than transacting, buying and selling cryptocurrencies on Coinbase. So that poses a potential threat for Coinbase's business. But Coinbase itself is also playing a pretty big role in this spot Bitcoin ETF launch. It is serving as the custodian for 8 of these spot Bitcoin ETFs, which just means that it stores the Bitcoin for a lot of these asset managers that are offering the spot Bitcoin ETFs. The only thing is that the custody business isn't known as a high margin business. A lot of analysts have said that they don't expect Coinbase to make a lot of money from offering this custody business.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit more about Coinbase as a company. Coinbase's CEO, Brian Armstrong, what is he like?
Brian Armstrong is a pretty big character in the crypto industry, and his profile has been raised even further after Sam Bankman-Fried, the now convicted crypto entrepreneur and founder of crypto exchange FTX, went to jail. And the other big crypto character, Changpeng Zhao, the founder of Binance, the world's largest crypto exchange, also pleaded guilty to violating anti-money laundering rules in the US and now is facing a sentencing later in February. Now, Brian Armstrong is like the face of the crypto industry. He has said in a Coinbase documentary and in other interviews that he is a more private, introverted person. So he didn't really want to become a public figure because he was worried that, you know, you could easily say something wrong and slip up and then this angry mob will come after you. But after the industry suffered a series of high profile collapses and bankruptcies and scandals in 2022, he faced this pressure to come out and represent the industry and advocate for crypto players in the industry and investors in Washington, D.C.
Even as Sam Bankman-Fried and Changpeng Zhao of Binance have gotten into legal trouble, how has Armstrong stayed standing?
Interestingly, Coinbase was sued by the Securities and Exchange Commission, the primary financial regulator, in June of last year. The SEC, just a day before, has sued Binance, the world's largest crypto exchange, and its founder, Changpeng Zhao. But unlike the lawsuit against Binance, the SEC didn't really accuse Brian Armstrong of any wrongdoing or accuse Coinbase of mishandling customer funds. The SEC was mainly alleging that Coinbase had listed securities that many of the cryptocurrencies that it offers on its platform were actually securities under the SEC's jurisdiction.
And is this the case that Armstrong and Coinbase are expected to go to court with today?
Yes, Coinbase's legal team is expected to go into court and ask the judge to dismiss the SEC's case against Coinbase. However, a lot of legal experts and attorneys, they don't think there is a high likelihood that the case could get dismissed just because the SEC had alleged like as many as 13 cryptocurrencies listed on the Coinbase platform were securities. There's a lot of nuances in the lawsuit and doesn't seem likely that the judge could make a decision on such an important issue in just one day.
What else should we expect to hear about Coinbase and about Armstrong in the coming months?
So one of the bigger news at the end of last year is that Brian Armstrong is personally supporting this super political action committee called Fair Shake. And last year, he had already announced that he had donated $1 million of his personal wealth to support this political super PAC, to support candidates in the 2024 elections. And then at the end of last year, there was an announcement that this super PAC supported by Brian Armstrong has raised $78 million from basically a who's who in the crypto industry. So it will be very interesting to see what this super PAC does and what Brian Armstrong does in Washington, D.C.
That was our markets reporter, Vicky Ge Huang. And that's it for Tech News Briefing. Today's show was produced by Julie Chang, with supervising producer Catherine Millsop. I'm Alex Osola for The Wall Street Journal. We'll be back this afternoon with TNB Tech Minute. Thanks for listening.